Chapter 5. He left the school, but instead of driving west to pick up the parkway and head home, he drove north towards an older home. He stopped at the four corners that marked the first school that he'd ever attended, Elliott Street School. It was a three-story brick and concrete place that was filled with spray-painted graffiti now, and there was trash in front of the doors. It looked deserted. It was an old building whose last real renovation had been completed in 1905. Ron got out of his car and walked to one of the entrances that he remembered. This was where they were dismissed when they had shop. It was right here that he'd fought Paul Peterson and pushed his face into the dirt and made him lick the sidewalk with his tongue while kids stood around and laughed. A guard approached Ron as he stood in the vestibule, looking at the metal cages that surrounded the staircase. "What you looking for?" said the man, with a broad chest and a cigar stub stuck in the side of his mouth. "I used to go to school here," said Ron. "Not no more," said the janitor security person. "Can I see the gym?" said Ron. "What do you want there?" "I want to see the balcony and the indoor track that wrapped around it." "We don't run no sightseeing tours, you know, man." "I know. I'm sorry. I'm teaching down the street. I loved this place." "Ain't too many people loving it now, Mr. Teaching Down the Street." "Yeah, I know. It's Friday. I just cashed my first paycheck for ever teaching anyone anything, and I was right here." The security officer looked him up and down. He did look like a teacher. He was harmless, and the man thought, with the broom in his hand and the knife in his pocket, he shouldn't be frightened. If he didn't show the guy around, he would be sweeping the floor, and suppose this guy knew somebody. "Come on, then," he said. "Ain't no one been up in that balcony for 10 years. It's all condemned. But I'll take you up there." Upon entering, Ron could hear immediately Mr. Kloss's voice intoning the names of the relay teams. Army, Navy, Notre Dame, and Cal. Ron could fly, and he could kick and throw and hit, and when he didn't miss school because of his asthma, he could make Mr. Kloss smile with his agility and strength. "Why are you absent so much, Tuck?" "I get sick." "Getting sick is a weakness, boy. You can't afford to get sick in a foxhole." "I'm going to suspend you from safety patrol for 2 weeks, Ron. You're sick too much." "Yes, Mr. Kloss. I won't get sick anymore. Can I have my belt back after that?" It was a single shoulder, around the waist strap that Ron had bleached so that it was bone white. "We'll see what happens," said Mr. Kloss. Ron liked the hot chocolate the safety patrol got on cold mornings and that the girls in the home economics class served them. There was Elaine Taddeo and the way she smiled and put a second marshmallow in his cup. Later that year, Ron had thrown rocks at her to prove to his friends that he didn't really like her. But when the black kids from Broadway Junior had come up there looking for the pretty Italian girls, Ron went home at lunch, came back with a butcher knife, ready to keep anyone who came near to Elaine away. He'd gotten caught right outside the orange mesh grated window. His mother had called the school frantic that a knife was missing. The cops had told Ron that he would be in trouble at Broadway Junior, and they sent him down the street. Ron looked the window where he'd hit the softball further than anyone else except Paul Peterson, who he'd made lick the sidewalk. He flushed, went down the stairs, and back to his car. Halleck Street was a shambles. He and Rich had played stickball here every day. This is where he first played football. This is where he told the rest of the team to line up and throw the ball and try to stop him. He ran hard, and they had shied away. He knew what it was like to crash into a body or to have one crash into you, and he longed for it. Now it was broken rubble, like the ruins you read about in Rome and Greece. He was up on Rich's door and knocking on it before he realized that he was there. There were bars on the windows, and the small Italian woman was hunched over in back of the bolted door. "It's Ron Tuck," he said. She opened the door with a huge smile. "Ronald, how wonderful to see you. Come in, come in." "Mrs. Diorio, I really didn't think you were still here."
"We don't give up easily, Ronald. How is your mother?"
This woman had fed him on more nights than he could remember, and when she came out into the backyard and asked Ron if he wanted to stay for dinner, he always shouted a triumphant yes. Now her place looked worn and torn up and used past the point where it should be left alone. Wallpaper hung in puffed peels in the hallway. The kitchen looked like something was crawling in it. The smells were old and not fresh and clean, the way Ron remembered them. The rooms were dark and small, and Ron had remembered almost feeling like he was in the country when he'd been at the Diorio house. She was now old and scarred, and Ron wondered how Richie could ever let this happen. She seemed to have a lump on her back and was stretched over an old sweater and a plaid house dress with a raveled-up hem. Her lips were shaking. "My mother is good. I was just in the neighborhood, Mrs. Diorio." "Can you stay and have dinner, Ron?"
"No, ma'am. I've got to be getting back now."
"Have you seen my Richie? You're always welcome here, Ronald."
"No, ma'am, but please give him my best."
Ron turned and walked away from the place. "Come back any time, Ronald." He didn't answer. He drove to where Halleck Street met Broadway, and then north towards Belleville. He looked for his building. The gas station across the street was gone. The diner had been demolished. His basement apartment stood in back of a high 8-foot razor chain fence that ran along the side of it. It was a battleground and no place for his memories.